Hello and welcome to Normal Boring Free Birth for Normal Boring People with Victoria and Leonie. We're here to celebrate, share and explore everyday free birth stories from normal people like you.
If you have a free birth story you would love to share, you can get in touch by sending a DM to our Instagram page at Normal Boring Free Birth or email us at normalboringfreebirth@outlook.com.
God, what a story, what a power woman. I just love the detail that she went into with this one, like of all of the preparation, all of the stages, all of the I don't know, the thing that's just ringing around my mind is the start of her labour, like
I know.
I think that's gonna stay with me.
Yeah,
that was a close call in the cinema.
It was. I was thinking, oh my god, she's gonna have it while she's watching James Bond. It's gonna like God. So funny. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So without further ado, let's listen to Teresa's epic free birth story. Teresa, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to hear your story. I don't really know much about it at all. Would you like to give yourself a little introduction?
Yes, hello. So my name is Teresa. I am based in London in the UK for all of the international listeners, and we free birthed our daughter last year in October, and lovely to be here and to share my story.
Lovely. Where would you like to start?
Maybe a pregnancy.
Because
I feel like it's kind of part of the story, and so I must say that my pregnancy, and I feel very lucky, it was really quite, you know, straightforward, no complications, and I actually felt really, really well. I didn't have any morning sickness. You know, lots of women complain about feeling a bit nauseous or a little bit more tired, and I must say it was like the opposite with me. I felt like really energized, and I blame it on those pregnancy hormones. I was... just really enjoying it. I felt like in full bloom, and I was like, this is amazing.
Oh,
postpartum, that's a different story, but the pregnancy was it was really, really enjoyable. And I'm from Austria, but I've lived in the UK for 17 years. And when I felt pregnant, I didn't really know, like, you know, what's the next thing to do. I was like, oh, do I call my GP practice, who I register, you know, my pregnancy, how does it all work? And I reached out to my GP surgery, and they then referred me to my local midwife team. And I already knew very early on that I wanted a home birth. So they referred me straight to our home birth team. And I think it was like maybe a good 2 to 3 months until I actually had my first appointment with the midwives. And to be honest, I didn't mind too much, because in the meantime, I've already started to work with a doula.
Oh, amazing.
Which was really, really good. And I don't know when I made the decision to have extra support with a doula, but even years leading up to, you know, to me falling pregnant, I always thought, you know, if I should ever have a baby and, you know, get pregnant, I would like to have additional emotional support. So I think I would like to work with a doula. So I think...
Sorry, where did you first come across doulas before you were pregnant? That's really interesting.
Yeah, I love that, because that's a really good plan, but I feel like that's super early to arrive at it, yeah.
It was super early. And, you know, the funny thing was, like, years ago, I didn't even know if I ever wanted to be a mum or have children. And I don't know what prompted me. I think it must have been like a late night Google search on all things pregnancy, just because I started to get interested in it. And I must have stumbled on the term doula and like doula services, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, let me do some more digging. And by the time I got pregnant, I already had like 2 doulas that I thought would fit what I'm looking for really well. So by the time I was like, oh, I think I've got a couple of doulas I'd like to work with. And that's quite interesting. So I felt like I was already kind of really prepared, even though back then I didn't even know whether I want to start a family or not.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's really interesting. Yeah.
So I actually had contact and reached out to my doula before even the midwife team. So I think I must have contacted her when I was in my, maybe 6th or 7th week of pregnancy, which is really, really early. And obviously I knew that up until sort of the three month benchmark, things could, you know, still happen in terms of the pregnancy, maybe might not carry on, and you know, because it was still so early, and yet I felt it quite important to already start having support quite early on, regardless of how it would have unfolded or not. And I think, like, personally for me, I think having worked with a doula from so early on in my pregnancy was part of why I was able to birth in the way that I did. If that makes sense.
Gotcha. Yeah, I want everyone to hear that. I think we'll save that as a little soundbite, because I'm already, we're a few minutes in and I'm already really in awe of, like, how you've approached it. I'm just going, how has she done this? How has she thought to, like, contact a doula, like, from the beginning? Because I feel like most, if they're contacting a doula, I don't know if it's a bit of a country-specific thing, but it tends to be more, I don't know, mid-pregnancy to late pregnancy. That tends to be what I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and I also hear that a lot of people choose a doula when they've had not great experiences with midwives, when they go, oh, actually, this isn't quite hitting the mark. Yeah. I need more. But it sounds like you went the other way round almost. So I'm really curious, like, did you kind of suspect that you wouldn't get that the support from the midwife in advance? Or were you kind of aware that they would be offering different things? Because they are slightly different roles, although ideally a midwife could also offer the emotional support, but in reality it's not how it works at the minute in the UK. So I just find it so interesting.
I'm already like, oh my god.
Well, I think it was for one of the reasons that you mentioned. I felt like I wanted more emotional support, and I really wanted to to home birth and to birth in a, I don't want to say in a specific way, but to have a really sovereign, empowered birth experience. And one of my good friends, she had a home birth like a year prior, and she had a really positive experience. But from a lot of other people, another like people in my group of friends or even online, you hear really often horror stories of how the physiological birth, being disturbed or interrupted with, by being in the hospital, or by having perhaps too many people in your space. And I was just like, oh, I want to make sure I do everything possible to avoid that. Mm-hmm. Because as a person, I am quite introverted. I'm a homebody. I really like to be at home. I'm really quite private. So the thought of being in a hospital, or maybe working with people that are maybe, I don't want to say with people, but maybe working with midwives that are that maybe don't have enough time or resources to really connect with me on an emotional level. And I totally appreciate that. There must be, you know, I think the NHS in general is just so overworked. And I was like, I think I just need that additional support. And I know, you know, a couple of people said, wow, you're starting with working with a doula really, really early on. So it seems like it isn't like the standard thing.
Yeah, it isn't, but it should be, I think. I think having someone that, like Leonie says, like, unfortunately, I feel like, yeah, a midwife kind of, definitely should offer the emotional support alongside, but usually doesn't. And a lot of that, I think, is down to resources and time and everything else. If they've got 5 minutes and they're seeing you only a certain allotted times, then you're just not getting that support. But I think it is unusual that to connect with someone and to kind of start forming a birth team so early. But I think it's amazing. And I think more people should do that, like 1,000,000%. Yeah. It sounds really good that you had a friend that perhaps had an experience that it sounds like maybe nudged you in a direction where you just sort of thought, oh, yeah, maybe. So that's great, because that shows the influence too of, like, because you're, I mean, I love that we'll share this and other people will listen to it and go, oh, yeah, maybe I'll contact a doula, like, as soon as I find out I'm pregnant or whatever. Like, you know, why not have that support? Like you say, that's great.
Exactly. You know, just to have that support. And I'm thinking, even because in the back of my mind, I thought, well, you know, it is kind of early on. What if something happens to a baby? What if I miscarry? Or, and I was thinking, well, if that happens and if the pregnancy shouldn't continue for one reason or another, wouldn't it be amazing to have additional support with a doula to walk me through
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I love that.
Because I think in our society, it's, you know, we don't really talk, or I mean, it's getting better now, but, you know, baby loss and child loss and miscarriage, it's still a bit of a taboo, isn't it? And lots of the times people really, like, women don't share it even with maybe their closest family members or friends. And I was thinking, well, but how beautiful would it be to then be held and be supported by a doula? Because maybe, like, the doula support should, I mean, not should, but it is, I think, very beneficial to start early on, regardless of how it progresses or doesn't progress, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So yes, so I found, I spoke to a couple of doulas on the phone, and I picked Samara. So she was my doula, and I thought, oh well, you know, we really resonated, and she works very much with sort of, you know, conscious birthing and home births, and has supported free births before. And from looking at her homepage and speaking, like talking to her on Zoom, I was like, oh, I think this is a good match. And she was brilliant. She was really, really good.
Is this Samara who's done Birth a New Story?
Exactly, yes.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, she was just like really, really, really amazing. And I don't think that without her and without her support, I think our story could have looked very different. So that was absolutely brilliant. And so I was already sort of talking to her and immersing myself in like birth preparation and like looking at all the amazing information and questions and like journal prompts that she sent me. So by the time I then met my midwife, I felt like I was already quite grounded and quite calm and quite clear on setting boundaries, right? And that's a really big thing, like setting boundaries, especially for women that want to always be like agreeable and people pleasing, and to then put down like firm boundaries in terms of how you envision your birth can be quite challenging. And I must say, the midwife that I worked with, he was actually really, really lovely, and he was a male midwife.
Okay.
Which was really interesting, because I think prior to that, I was really ignorant that there are men doing midwifery, because in Austria, it's not like a really common, thing. But one of my friends in Spain, she said, oh yeah, they have lots of male midwives. And I was like, oh my goodness, like I never knew. And obviously I was then thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. I wonder how the journey and birth preparation and all the appointments will be with a man rather than with like a female midwife.
And did that feel different? Because I was really interested in you saying about you were feeling equipped to express your boundaries. And I'm wondering how that felt doing that with a man, with a male midwife, because I feel very differently expressing my boundaries to women and to men, particularly in medical environments. I'm curious.
So I must say it helped that he is in his mid-20s and I'm in my mid-30s. And I think for some reason that age gap and him being a man, I felt more, I don't want to say safe, but maybe more comfortable to set my boundaries than, let's say, if it would have been a female midwife, maybe slightly older or a lot older than me, that would have been in the profession for a long time. I think I would have had a harder time with setting boundaries with a woman.
Interesting. That's so interesting.
So the age thing and the kind of established career element was a factor, it sounds like.
Yes, absolutely.
Interesting.
Because I felt like we spoke the same language in a lot of ways. He was quite laid back, and he always gave me the feeling that I was in choice, that, you know, I had the, I, you know, that he was always like, you know, if that doesn't resonate with you, or if you don't want that, you can just let me know. And so I felt really quite comfortable with him. And I think because he hasn't been in the profession of midwifery for maybe 20, 30, 40 years, I felt like maybe he is more flexible in terms of some of his views or some of the approaches. Sure. And yeah. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Less chance to be really kind of set in your ways or get bad habits, I suppose. Like maybe you kind of like to think that the ones that are younger coming into the system have got a kind of fresher approach, or they're a bit more open. That's what you kind of, which I don't think is always true from stuff I hear, but it can depend on the person, I think. Yeah, it depends on the individual and who they've been mentored by, I think. Because interesting. Yes. But yeah, I get what you're saying with it though, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he was actually really a delight to work with, and all of our appointments were really quite straightforward. And as I said, he always gave the options to, you know, how do you feel about this, and would you rather do this or that? And I was very comfortable to say, you know, to say no, and to be like, no, this is something I don't want to do. Yes, this sounds good, this doesn't sound good. And because he was from the home birth team as well, I feel like that was already a little bit easier in terms of maybe working with somebody that was more like hospital based, if that makes sense. Looking back now, I think if I wouldn't have had the support and the additional resources from my doula, I don't think I would have felt as prepared for birth, labor, and what was to come. Just because, as you mentioned, you know, they might have like 5 minutes, and you know, with our doula, and I feel very lucky and fortunate enough to have been able to actually, you know, to hire her, because I know that that might not be in everybody's, you know, not everybody might be able to do that. But just her being able to come over, or having her on Zoom and going into questions in more detail, was really helpful. The first time we met her, she came over and she had a model of the pelvis with her, and she was showing us, you know, this is how it moves, and then you can do these exercises to open up your pelvis a bit more. And I was like, my God, this is amazing. Like, this should be such a normal thing to be offered to women.
And I take it that there wasn't an appointment with your midwife where they went through similar information?
No, not really. I felt like some information was given, and you know, some additional resources, but not in depth, as much as, you know, with our doula, with somebody that you hire. And even though it might seem like such a small thing, isn't it, like, you know, going to somebody's home and having like the pelvic floor, but until then I didn't really know how the muscles work and what happens and like how the coccyx then moves out of there. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And it was really lovely to have my husband there as well, and to have him part of the journey and of all the sessions. I think that was another thing that was really important to me as well, to have him on board and him with me during the sessions.
I mean, it's not something that we're taught, is it, in school? I don't know if it was the same in Austria, but I don't remember in the UK learning how the woman's body works in order to give birth and how to optimize that.
No way.
I think it's amazing. And you say it's a little thing, but it's how your body works. And we're so disconnected from even just the basic physiology. And I love that at the very beginning you were talking about, you knew that you needed to optimize the physiology, and there was this amazing doula teaching you how it works. Like, that's amazing. It's such a big thing.
Absolutely, because it's just such a standard thing to hear, you know, to hear sort of from the media or from movies or from other friends that maybe didn't have such a great birth, to hear traumatizing stories. And all luckily I had like a couple of friends that went through really positive experiences, but the majority is always like, oh, you'll see, you know, you'll see how painful it will be. And, I don't want to think about it. And it's just something that has to be kind of endured. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, surely there's another way. I wonder how women did it all of those thousands of years beforehand.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You knew there was more. I love that.
I did feel it in my bones. And it's really funny. And, you know, I don't know what exactly happened, but years ago when we were contemplating should we ever start a family or not, because we were on the fence for, you know, for such a long time. And if you would have asked me 3 or 4 years ago, I would have been like, I want to have an elective C-section and I want to take all the medication. Like, I do not want to know what will be going on in my body. And I was really quite terrified of birth. And I suppose as I got more interested in the whole birth process and looking into like alternative and holistic ways of healing and of being, I was like, oh, maybe there is another way. And I think another thing that a lot of women maybe start doubting like their own birthing powers is if they perceive to have like a low pain threshold, right?
Yeah.
I think that a lot of women are like, oh, will I be able to handle it? And my pain threshold is like not high at all. And I was like, and I bruise like a peach and I say ouch and ouch all the time. And of course I was thinking like, oh my goodness, you know, this is giving birth, and you know, will I be, so of course doubts and fears do come in.
Yeah. I hate that expression, like, and I'm not sure who really, I mean, I guess it's just people around us. I mean, maybe it just comes from everyone, but yeah, this whole idea of like, oh, well, what's your pain threshold like? Because
yeah.
I mean, obviously it kind of like plants the seed of like, well, yeah, birth is going to be really, really painful.
Yeah.
And it also kind of lays down the groundwork for, you'll probably need some kind of pain relief and maybe that'll have to be quite strong and maybe that'll have to be some kind of drug or, you know, I think it already kind of puts you on a path of accepting certain things that actually, if you looked into them a bit more, you might go, well, hang on, I'm not sure I do really want that. But you kind of come from it from a place of feeling like, well, I must surely need it because my pain threshold is low. And I just don't think, you know, the word pain in birth is so like, we could talk about that for hours, couldn't we? It's not a really straightforward concept anyway.
Yes.
But yeah.
And I just think it's not comparable to normal everyday life. I mean, for me, like, I'd take giving birth over stubbing my toe any day. My pain threshold for normal everyday kind of pain is also quite low.
Yeah.
Giving birth twice out of three times for me wasn't painful. And I just think it's not like a fair comparison. Yes.
I love that. Love it. Your birth was less painful than stubbing your toe.
Yeah, it was. That really hurt.
I love that. No, I was down with I had like a tummy bug a couple of weeks ago with like vomiting and not feeling great and diarrhea and all of that. And as I was in bed feeling really poorly and nauseous, I was like, I'd prefer to go through birth again than being down with this tummy bug. Because I hate the feeling of being nauseous. And I was thinking, isn't it funny that I feel that way now? That I'd rather go through labor again than be down with like just tummy bug and just feeling nauseous as hell.
Oh god. So you were seeing this midwife, getting on well with them, and it was feeling positive. And I guess did you just continue down the usual kind of schedule of appointments and things?
Yes, so we did go ahead with all the scans and with all the appointments. At some point very early on, I was considering, perhaps a wild pregnancy where I don't go to any of the appointments, but the curiosity was too big in terms of wanting to see the ultrasound and just go along to appointments. And I suppose because my experiences with my midwife have been quite positive, I felt like, oh, I'm happy to go along with all the sort of standard appointments. I didn't need any extra sort of scans or any extra appointments because my pregnancy was quite you know, straightforward. The only thing I will say, very close towards the end of my pregnancy, I think it must have been maybe 34, 35, maybe a little bit longer than that, maybe 37 weeks pregnant, they had to do a risk assessment at home. And apparently that's something you have to do with every home birth. Midwives come home and just go through all the risks of things that could happen, but also obviously of all the positive things, you know, having like a home birth. And I'm not quite sure whether that was a planned thing or whether, so my midwife was actually on holiday during that week, and I do wonder, I was like, I wonder if the risk assessment was booked during that week so a more senior midwife would visit me, or whether it was just a pure coincidence, right?
Maybe.
So I'm, you know, I've, to be honest, I've never asked, but I'm not quite sure. But and to be honest, I thought the risk assessment would take maybe like half an hour, 20 minutes, not long. But I think they were here for nearly like a couple of hours. And
it was really long.
And if I would have known, I would have asked my partner to stay at home with me just to be involved in the process. But I was like, oh, it's just going to be a quick thing. And it was quite a senior midwife from the home birth team, and sort of a younger, I think she must have been maybe mid and 20s, like a younger midwife with her. And, you know, we started to talk about my sort of birth preferences. I had a birth plan as well. I was very adamant to have a very clear and detailed birth plan.
Good, yeah.
And after the first 10, 15 minutes, I was thinking, maybe there isn't as much coercion, you know, within the birth teams, like within the NHS and midwives in general, because, you know, this is quite positive. And it wasn't until I had the thought that then very subtly things were dropped in the conversations to make me doubt myself and my decisions. Yeah. And for example, it started very subtly with, do I want monitoring, so heartbeat monitoring or cervical checks? And I, from the very beginning, I said I don't want any vaginal, no cervical checks at all, and I also don't want the heartbeat monitoring. And of course they were questioning, you know, what's the reasoning behind, and I said, you know, I know that the heartbeat might go up and down with each contraction anyway, and that, you know, having people around me checking things, that will just get me out of my birthing space. So it's just something that, you know, that I didn't want. And the more senior midwife just sat back and she was just like, So I knew that didn't sit too well. And then she said, you know, if you were to decline all of the tests and monitorings, that would make our midwives feel very uncomfortable.
Oh, right, okay.
And
it gives a shit.
And I was like,
It's not about them, is it? It's about you, you're giving birth.
Exactly. I was like, it's not about you feeling comfortable, uncomfortable. I should be the one feeling comfortable. And so just that comment that, you know, them being uncomfortable. And, you know, I appreciate it. Probably want to back themselves up and have to go for like all the protocols. I totally get it. But that already, I was like, you know, that's not cool, because it should be about the birthing woman and not about anybody feeling, you know, comfortable. And then as we went along sort of the road of, you know, things I want to do and I don't want to do, she then said, oh, you know, I must tell you about a story. And I was like, here we go. And she said that, you know, a while ago, like a few years ago, she had like another woman just like me declining all of the, you know, all of the tests, like all the heartbeat monitoring, and she wanted to have a home birth. And then she said, you know, I'm really sorry to say, but she had a stillbirth, her baby died. Oh, and then she and I was immediately like, I see exactly what you're trying to do here. You're trying to like push me into a corner and totally coerce me. And then she said, and as a mum, imagine living with that guilt.
She didn't go there. That is, oh my God. So this is a woman that you haven't met before either. And there's actually two of them there, which I feel that's a bit unusual. I personally had one midwife come to my home on both occasions when I had a home assessment. And you've got two people, strangers in your home, and they're sat there and they're telling you that they've known someone that's gone through a similar, you know, quite a similar situation and they've ended up with a stillbirth. My God. I mean, how is that? That's like the polar opposite of holding a woman and preparing them for labour and birth. That's just absolutely filling her with fear. What the F?
Absolutely.
And did she share any stories of, you know, when it went well?
Yes.
Was there a balanced view or was it just the bad one?
Oh, my gosh.
I felt like, so at the beginning, it started off with like, the positive things about home birth, you know, being in your own space, and usually home births don't take as long, and, you know, it's like a more natural process, women feel more relaxed. That was like the beginning bit, like the first 10, 15 minutes. And then I felt like more of the negative things started to come in, you know, the the kind of the guilt tripping that I think what really got me is like the, you know, a similar woman to you. And then she said, yeah, imagine living with that guilt forever, knowing it could have been different. And I was just like sitting there, and I felt like, first of all, if my husband would have been there, would they have gone there? Or was it just because it was two of them and it was just one, just me? Like two, you know.
Definitely.
Two against me. It felt a little bit.
What I also hate though with that is that, because I feel like, you know, we sometimes get people saying to us, like, you know, we need to talk about loss. We need to talk about that that's a possibility, that it is something that can happen. And I absolutely agree with that. But that was not a respectful conversation about the possibility or the kind of how you would handle that. They weren't talking you through a process of that. That wasn't a useful, beneficial conversation. And you're also someone that has very clearly done an awful lot of work, you know, off your own back, and you've kind of done all this yourself. So I feel like this is something that you've probably thought about anyway. But that was not the time or the place to discuss that. You know, they could have, if they wanted to have an actual adult conversation about the possibility of loss and what might occur and what might happen, they could have done that way before coming to your home when you're like 36 weeks pregnant.
Well, it wasn't a conversation about loss, was it? It was a conversation to try and get you to have the monitoring.
Yeah.
That was the function and purpose of it, by the sounds of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, absolutely. Because as you said, you know, my husband and I, we spoke about the possibility of, you know, what are we going to do if something happens? You know, what? And because it is a very, because it is a very real thing. And we were of the belief if it's going to happen, it's going to happen at home or in a hospital. Regardless, so we just had a lot of trust that it's going to unfold the way it has to. But as you said, with the, you know, the guilt tripping and the imagine having to live with that, I was like, that's to try to make me do something I don't want to do. And then she also said, do you think you're going to change your mind, maybe? And I was like, and I then started to feel a little bit like in the back in the corner. I was like, maybe, but probably not. Rather than saying no, I was like, oh my god, you know, what do I say? And then she carried on to say, you know, if we have to resuscitate the baby, so should something happen in an emergency, you know, make sure, like, in terms of the setup, you know, it needs to be like on a hard surface, or maybe let's have the table next to the birth pool. And then she dropped something else, because resuscitations at home happen more often than you would think.
Oh my god.
Wow.
She really
went for it, isn't she?
I know, she really went for it. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I think that she really didn't like me just standing my ground and saying no. So she tried to, you know, the whole resuscitation and
well, it's inconvenient, isn't it, you know, birthing at home sometimes for staffing and for resources.
Yes, absolutely. And then she also, you know, it was so funny because she probably, because I got the feeling that she probably sat there thinking, look at this first-time mum, she doesn't have a clue, you know, what does she know what it's like or what it's all about. Because she also said a couple of other things. You know, she said, oh, if the pain gets too much, unfortunately we'll be at home, so you wouldn't have the option of an epidural or any drugs. But don't worry, we've got a direct like telephone number to our local hospital, so if needs be, we can always like get a car. So all of a sudden the conversation that started very positive then started to go like into the opposite direction in terms of, do you want me just to say let's go to the hospital, like is that more convenient?
She absolutely does. Yeah, she absolutely wants you to sit there and go, oh my god, you know what, until talking to you I thought it was all fine birthing at home, but now we've had this conversation, thank goodness, I'd actually like to give birth in the hospital, and if you could be there that'd be wonderful. My
exactly.
god.
honestly, so I was just sitting there and I went into that. I felt like I went into the conversation quite grounded, like really strong in my convictions. Towards the end, I felt like a little bit shaky. I felt like a little bit fearful. And I was like, because it was in the height of my pregnancy as well. And I was like, I wonder if they do it on purpose.
Of course,
you know, like,
yes.
You're susceptible. Your hormones are wanting you to be people pleasing and they're wanting not confrontation. You know, you need a soft ride at this point, not to be battered and pounded. Yes. Your choices, you know, you shouldn't need to justify your decisions. There's a beautiful quote, and I'm not going to even try and do it word for word, but there is some legislation, I believe, around this where you don't need to say your reasons at all. It can be for no reason. You don't need to justify yourself, but here you are being given. Oh my God. And she was from the home birth team.
I know. And I think my journey with like the team of midwives would have looked very different if she would have been my midwife. I would have had, I think, a real hard time to just stick to my boundaries and just to be very open with her. And I really felt like the younger midwife that was with her, I felt like she always she always tried to like bring it back to a more positive aspect. I'm quite glad that she had like the younger one with her. And then towards the end, she also, I can't give it back like word for word, but that's when I thought, okay, I'm just not going to take this too serious, because she said something about, I think induction was kind of mentioned. And I said, you know, I don't even want to talk about induction. Like, let's just not go there. And I think she said something about, oh, because babies can sometimes grow a little bit too large to pass through.
Oh, God.
And I was just like, okay, we'll just leave it here.
She had like a full bingo card of all the things.
Exactly.
It just and stupid to say.
I know, right? It was just like, but do you know what? Looking back now, I'm happy it happened, because I was like, I definitely don't want to have any of you at my birth. So I'm definitely going to go ahead and give birth.
Yeah. Maybe there was a purpose. Yeah.
I think there was. Because until then, I was thinking, oh, maybe we should just call the midwives and not go into labor. And we always kept that option open. But the whole idea of free birth came up several times during the pregnancy, also very early on. And after that, I was like, no, I definitely don't want to have that sort of energy, you know, in my house and while I give birth. So that just strengthened my belief and the idea of not wanting.
I mean, I think that's obviously great and personal call on your part. Absolutely good option to do that. But also, I feel like it's they do themselves such a disservice, because they really spooked you from even wanting to have anything to do with them. You know, if you'd maybe continued to, like, if the nice midwife that you were seeing for your appointments was actually the one doing the home visit, you may have still felt that, like, yeah, actually, I might call you, you know, and that could have potentially even been a good thing, or a nice energy to have around, like you say. Or so they're really like, she just made it worse, really, with everything.
Absolutely, you know, she just made it worse. And another thing that she said, I just remembered, she said, well, if you're gonna decline all of the tests and all of the monitoring, why would we be here then?
Oh, so that whole thing in the beginning about you looking for that emotional support from the doula, thank God you thought about that, because that clearly wasn't an option from these people who came to your home. Oh, it's so annoying.
No, exactly. And I felt so angry and like so shaken after a phone call, because after them visiting me, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, what if it is a stillbirth? What if the baby has to be resuscitated? You know, filled with all of those doubtful ideas. And I called my doula, and luckily she was able to really bring me back to the ground and ground me and give me some reassuring words, and, you know, telling me it's not personal, that, you know, this is what happens very unfortunately more often than not when women are very highly susceptible. Because obviously she's seen it all, you know, before attending births and home births and whatnot. So that was just so important for me to then have that additional support. Then again, get rid of those doubts and just like ground me again in my conviction and make me feel more positive again about the whole experience. And I had another appointment with my usual midwife, the male midwife I was working with, I think a couple of weeks after the assessment. And he said, I think he already knew that maybe I wasn't as agreeable to certain things, because he was like, so how did it go? And I was like, yeah, it went okay. Rather than me saying it was a total fuckery. So, you know, it was,
no, you swear,
was not... It was not okay with the fucker, and I felt like very back in the corner. I wanted to be agreeable, and I was like, oh, you know, it was okay. Luckily, my husband was like with me at that appointment, and he said, No, Therese, I don't lie. It wasn't okay. She felt really back in the corner. Like, I don't know who you sent around there, but it wasn't cool. And quite luckily, you can be really happy that we're not lodging a formal complaint.
Yes!
And
it must be so frustrating for him. He's done, you know, you've worked together. You've built up this amazing relationship. It sounds like it was really, like, positive on both sides. He goes away for a week. He comes back and he's been scuppered.
Yeah.
No, and he did. I remember him actually apologising. He was like, oh, I'm really sorry about that. And I think he even said something between the lines of, oh, you know, that unfortunately does happen quite a lot with, like, the risk assessments, that maybe things are said that shouldn't be said and they are maybe not approached in the most positive or constructive way. So he really, you know, so he really understood. And I think, and he also said that my birth plan seemed very, very strict. I don't think he said strict, but I was like, but I just said, not strict. I just want to make sure that my wishes are heard and that they are on paper. Mm-hmm. And I think women in general must get so much stick for maybe having a doula or having, like, a very boundaried birth plan in terms of what they want to happen and not want to happen. I think very often they are maybe seen as princesses or, oh, she's a bit extra, isn't she? When it's something just really, it should be something really normal.
Of course, it should, right? All your wishes, yeah, your body, your birth, your baby. Like, yeah, why should you have to funnel into some kind of expectation of other people at all?
Exactly.
How dare you assert yourself?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was interesting. And obviously, by then, once all of those appointments have happened, I think I maybe had like a few more weeks to go, and my usual, so my male midwife then also said, sorry, I just need to, and he said it throughout our appointments together, he said, I know how you're gonna feel about this, but I just have to ask you, because I'm an NHS midwife, so I just have to get these things off the tick box. Mm-hmm. And he said, how do you feel about induction? And I was like, can we not talk about induction? I don't want to be approached until I'm like 44 weeks plus, should I then still be pregnant? Like, I just don't want to think about it. I don't want to do it. I was very, if I feel like the need or that there is an emergency, I will let you know. How about that? And and he did, you know, that was passed on to one of the more senior midwives in the hospital. And then on the day I actually went into spontaneous labor, I think I received an email from her in the morning to say, we have been made aware by the midwife that you don't really want to look at induction options yet. And I was like, I thought I'd make myself very clear not to be contacted about this.
Yeah.
Because I was like 40 weeks and maybe 2 or 3 days. And I was like, and yet here I'm reading the email, even though I said I don't want to be contacted so early on, and that I will be in touch. And then she said, like, oh, it would be something between the lines of maybe you would like just to look at options in case the pregnancy, in case you don't go into spontaneous labor, and look into, was it, you know, look into options of a EC. And I was like, what's an EC? A collective cesarean. And I was like, how are we already talking about cesareans only a few days, like, over the due date? And due dates are all a big myth anyway, I feel. To now being, like, suggested maybe a date for a EC or for a possible induction. Like, how did we get there? And I was so angry the whole day. But then I went into spontaneous labor a few hours later anyway. So, you know, that.
Amazing. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. But yeah.
I think some people do, though. Some people do like to have it penciled into the diary. This kind of wanting to know what to expect and to prepare in a very particular way. And it just sounds like it's just not what you're about. It's the complete opposite. And, you know, not only is it undermining you and your communication and your wishes, it's also undermining all of the other, you know, the male midwife who you've had this appointment with. Him, he said she declined, and then they go, oh no, sorry, that's not loud enough for me, I just need to, you know, double check.
Yeah. Like, yes, I think that's what got me, the me saying I really don't even want to talk about it, to then having an email, and I was like, oh my god, because I felt like if I would have, like, penciled in a potential future appointment, that's yet another date that I have to stress about, when women already have, like, so much pressure on them about, like, the whole due date thing anyway. which was really interesting, because when I always felt my due date was a little bit later, and they were like, oh, you know, I think your due date will be around this time. And I was like, no, I think it's going to be later, because I'm fairly certain that I know when I conceive, because I use one of those pregnancy apps, and I was usually quite good in terms of, you know, my cycles and when to, you know, when will certain things happen. And I always thought I'm going to go into labor on the 3rd of October, but it was just on the cusp. It was like the 2nd of October, very close.
You're
to
really close.
Yeah.
Really close.
That's amazing.
So how did it start? How did you know that things had started then? What was the beginning for you?
Do you know what? I had like some slight contractions of like, let's say around a week leading up to me going into labor. And then in the morning of the 2nd of October, it was raining outside. You know, the weather was a little bit moody. And I kept on having, looking back now, probably Braxton Hicks very early on. And I read this amazing book by How to Have a Baby. Is it by Natalie Meddings?
Meddings, yeah.
And I found a lot of the tips that were given there really helpful. And she said, if you, you know, just to carry on as normal, you know, to get a lot of rest in, but also just to carry on about your day when you think that when you feel things might already be happening. So it must have been maybe like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking like, oh, I think it will happen this weekend, but I don't want to just sit around and wait. So my husband said, out of all of the days we could have done it, he said, should we go to Camden Market? And for those of you... those of you that are not in London and not in the UK, it's like a street market with like lots of kind of hippie stalls and like food stalls. He's like, should we go to Camden Market? And I was like, yeah, go on then, why not? I was like, as long as we are like within like an hour's drive of home and we can goodness. Just jump into a cab,
yeah,
let's do it. Yeah. And because we needed like some wall decoration, we wanted to get some, I call them like hippie sheets, you know, like that sort of tapestry that you put on the wall.
Yeah,
we have a very drafty door, so we were like, oh, let's just like put a couple of those and that's gonna keep the draft outside. So let's go for it, we'll do it today. So, you know, so we go to the train station, I sit down and I was like, interesting, I already, you know, things are, I feel something happening, right?
Wow.
Looking back now, I think I must have been in early labor, because I did my hypnobirthing. I must say hypnobirthing worked really great for me. So I was sitting there and I was like, do you think this is it? Do you think I'm like, and maybe, do you think this is happening already? And he was like, I don't know. How do you feel? I was like, well, I feel pretty good. But every few minutes, I'm really aware that I have to like stop what I'm doing and do my breathing.
Yeah.
Wow.
My God. So,
but it was still doable. I could still like move around. I could still walk and everything. So we got off the train and then walked towards the like the market. We had like some Chinese food. So I was like, I must make sure like I eat properly. You know, if this is going to happen later on today or tomorrow, you know, I want to be well nourished.
Or in the middle of Camden Market.
In the middle of Camden Market with our umbrellas, you know, it was like it was pouring it down. And it was so funny because I think people must have looked at me because like every 3 or 4 minutes I had to take like, yeah, close my eyes and whatever I was like doing or eating, I would just stop and do my breathing. And then I was like, let it pass. And I was like, okay. And then I'll carry on walking around. Yeah. And I remember, it was so funny because I remember getting some looks from people and they were like probably thinking, oh my God, is she like in labor? Looking back now, I kind of was in early labor anyway. So as I was waddling, and I was waddling hard by the, you know, I was sort of walking around, and Chris was like, oh, should we head back home? And I was like, should we get like a dessert? I don't want to go without like having some sort of dessert, right?
I just love how I love your labor story already. It's amazing. No, I'm getting the dessert.
I'm getting the dessert. Of all of the desserts we could have chosen, we got like the most obscene donut. I think a cronut, you know, like mix of a donut and like chocolate covered. It was bigger than my head. It was massive. So we're like, should we just share? Yeah, let's share one. So we were just like standing there and I was like, oh, this, you know, this is delicious and this is, you know, keeping me occupied and you know, this is great. And so we had our dessert and then we're like, oh, let's head back. So I think we were like there for maybe a couple of hours. Then we went back onto the overground. I felt things like speeding up and Chris was like, ah, oh, I need some nails for these hippie sheets. Should we just quickly pop into the shopping market, like into the shopping center. And I was like, do they have an elevator there? He was like, no, I don't think so. They've got stairs. And I was like, oh, that's going to be difficult for me, like, to waddle up those stairs. But I was like, but it's all right. You know, let's go for it. So we get off a few stops before home. I waddle up the stairs and we go into the shopping center, get some nails, like we get like some other bits. Then I was like, must pop to Tesco's. I need birth snacks. So by that point, I was, and one thing I didn't know, he was actually timing the contractions already. Like I didn't know, but he was well aware of what was happening, but he just like kept his cool. And so we go into Tesco's, and I was like, oh, you know, the feelings like in my womb and in my body were like pretty intense. I was like, let me just get some hummus. And I go like to the hummus and salad section. And one of the Tesco employees, I just remember, like, I had to close my eyes again. I just like held my tummy and I was breathing. And the Tesco employee just looked at me like, everything, like, are you okay, lady? And I was like, yeah, just looking.
I'm just looking having a baby. Like, I'm fine.
I'm fine. Normal
birth. All good. Exactly. Just normal, you know, normal things are unfolding here. I'm just looking at the hummus. And I got some kombucha, which I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna taste delicious while in labor. And then I waddle and then we pay. And I was like, Chris, well, there's a cinema around the corner. Should we go and see the new James Bond movie?
No, no,
yeah.
Oh, see a film.
I did. I was like, because that's definitely gonna get the baby out. And my husband was like, I don't think the baby needs any more encouragement. I think it's happening. And he was like, I've been timing it. I think it's already we're kind of there already. So maybe that's just for home.
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of disappointed, but lucky now, because imagine having like going into labor and giving birth while watching like the new James Bond movie. That would have been quite something.
Yeah, but it's fine there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's 3 hours. I bet it is.
it would definitely happen then. But
oh my God.
But I was like, okay, well, let's go home then. So, you know, by that point, gosh, I was like waddling quite severely. And as we like the last part of our journey, sat down on the train, and I was like, okay, I can, you know, this is happening now. Like there was no denying it anymore. And then yeah. I was like, gosh. I was like, I said, I'm so happy we didn't go to the cinema. Imagine, because yes. I just wanted my comfort and I wanted my bathtub and I wanted to be silent and private. And we waddled home and I went upstairs and I run myself a bath. The cliche things, put some incense sticks on, got some candles out. And Chris said, oh, I'm just going to be next door doing a little bit of work. And he put some music on and he said, if you need anything, I'll just be here. So it seemed like a really normal unfolding of events. In a way, it felt like something really sacred and holy was happening. On the other hand, something really normal was happening. So let's not get too.
I love that.
And that was something I was really aiming for. Like really, when I first met my doula, I was like, she said, "How do you want it to feel?" And I remember saying, "I wanted to feel something extraordinary is happening in a very ordinary and mundane everyday life, because it kind of is, isn't it? It's just going to happen inevitably." If you just allow it to unfold. And I took the bath and the water was like so soothing. And I started doing my hypnobirth, the breathing. And I must say that was so powerful. I think that the breathing alongside making noises, like deep guttural noises or even just humming, was just so soothing and such a pain relief for a better word.
Amazing.
And I must have been in the tub for maybe like an hour. And then as things started to get more intense, I was like, oh, let's go down. I had my tense machine there as well. And I was like, oh, let's try this on then and see, you know, see how I feel about this. So we put the tense machine on and I was on my birth ball. And the surges were really intense, but it's really weird. Like I wouldn't describe it. Like I've not described the sensations as pain. Mm-hmm. I always just said, this is quite intense. Like, what is intense? The intensity. I've never said, oh my God, this is painful. Like, I've never used that word, which is quite interesting. And at that stage, so I didn't even think about, should we maybe call the midwife, should we not? That was just like totally out of there, like we were going to do this. So we texted our doula, we texted Samara to say, like, you know, things are happening. And she said, oh, try to get some rest if you can. So I had the TENS machine on me, and then we just went into the bedroom and I had like a little lie down. And by that point, it was really like, yeah, the intensity was quite severe. I was like, oh, okay. And as I was laying down and I had like my headphones on, I was listening to some meditations. I just heard like the water pop.
Oh, wow.
It was coming out of me. And I said, like in a very inconvenient way, like, well, that's the water then. So this is happening now. I mean, of course it's happening, but I was like, that's the water now. And to be honest, once my water popped, it was all a bit of a blur. So my husband then went next door into the kitchen to set up the birth pool, and I was laboring on the bedroom floor, sort of just on my knees, and it's being very in touch with my body. And it's funny, like, and I was like, oh my god, I hope my upstairs neighbor is not in, because if they hear me making noises, they're gonna think, is everything okay? And it's really weird, like, what you think about it, like, you're giving birth, woman, like, don't worry about anything else. And I made myself chuckle there, and like, who cares, you're in bloody labor, you know, it's all good. So I just put it on hold. And I went to sit on the toilet because I felt that very, I think that's such a standard, not as like, that's a really often women do, don't they, like, to sit on the toilet, just the pressure is like
magic toilet. Longer.
Yeah, exactly. And I had just had my head like on the what's it called, the cistern.
That's, you know, it.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly. So I was just like leaning on there. Then my husband came in to check on me, and he's giving me like a bit of a back rub, a little bit of a massage, and I was like, "Don't touch me!" So I was like, "Oh, that's how I could tell I'm in the middle of." I just wanted to be like left alone in my space. Yeah. And I suppose my personality maybe came out a little bit more, because I never knew when I'm in labor, will I want maybe some kissing or cuddling or maybe even self-pleasure. I was open to all of those ideas. Or would I want to be just like very silent and very like somewhere dark? And I really wanted to just be like somewhere dark, silent, and I didn't even want to listen to that many things. So, you know, I didn't have my headphones on anymore, I didn't listen to any meditations, I was just, you know, in the moment. And I was just thinking, bloody hell, this is quite, you know, this is really, really intense. And as I was sitting there for a few moments, nothing happened. That was transition, I think, looking back now. I just didn't know it then. Like, I didn't know I was transitioning already. So I was sitting there and, you know, I was doing my breathing. And then for a few minutes, I was like, but what's happening? Like, you know, why is this stopping all of a sudden? I don't want it to stop. And then that must have been the transition. And that's where then the urge to push came, and but I didn't know it was already the pushing stage, right? So wow. I was like, so I was just like holding on to like the rail, and I was like, and that's where I then thought, oh my god, maybe calling the midwife wouldn't be such a bad idea. Maybe all of those thoughts like that, maybe I can't do this, was I foolish to think I can do this, maybe I have to call the midwife, maybe, oh my god, maybe I do need some like drugs or some sort of, and within a minute or two that was gone. Like, that was, and I think the sheer intensity of that moment, of the transition of those thoughts, I knew that could happen. And then looking back now, that's exactly what happened. I was like, you know, wide open, my body was ready to push. After those thoughts were gone, I was like, right, let's do this. And I didn't even have to think that, because my body was just doing it anyway. And as I was sitting there, I was like, there's nothing that I can do to escape the intensity of the situation. So I was like, all I can do is ask all the women that have come before me, all the ones yet to come, all of my ancestors, my female ancestors, to be here and assist me and hold space, because the only way to the other side is through it. And I just let my body lead. So I tried to be as in tune as I could, and I just threw myself on the floor, and my body was pushing involuntarily. And I was like, this is mad. Like, there is no... like, I can't control this. And because I didn't know that this is already the pushing stage, I still tried to do the very calm breathing. But of course that didn't work anymore, because I was already, my body was already trying to push the baby out. So I just imagine coming into the living room where the pool was set up, and I just threw myself into the pool. That the warm water was just so soothing. And I just remember grabbing the side handles or the side rails of the pool and just being totally taken by the intensity of the surges. But then one thing that nobody tells you about, like the moments between the surges are so blissful. I was so high, I felt so high. I just looked at my husband, I was like, this is so intense, but it also feels so fucking amazing because you're just like in this oxytocin. Nobody tells you about those moments. They're all always
No one tells you, right?
Nobody tells you. Everybody's just like, oh my God, the surge and the contraction. But nobody tells you about the moments in between that are like so blissful and my pupils were dilated. And I was like, this is wild. This is so amazing. And I felt great. And he just stood there and he was like, look at you. You're like this gorgeous birthing woman. And I felt anything but gorgeous. I just laid there like a frog spread out in the pool. And I was like, ah. I just looked wild. And I remember. But there was still such an ease to it all, we still had lots of giggles in between, and I had to laugh at myself because I tried to do like guttural noises whenever the surges came in, but they came out quite high pitched, so I was just like, and I was like, no, must be lower, so I was like, so I must have sounded so it must have been a very interesting soundscape to listen to. And I was thinking, oh, it's still going to be a while until, you know, the baby comes. And all of a sudden I feel like a bulge, you know, like sort of my yoni and like everything down there sort of bulging. And what's it called? You know, when it stings a little bit, when the head comes out and it stings. And I was like, well, this can't be the baby already. Like, what else would it be, right? Like, what else would come out if not your baby? And I touched down. I was like, oh my God, is this the head already? So I was like, so when the search was over, I was like, I asked my husband, can you just get the mirror from next door? I just want to have a look to see if that was maybe already the head. So he got me the mirror and I had a look and I was like, I can't see the head. So it couldn't have been the head. But of course, because it was past the search, the head would have popped in already.
Out and in again.
Exactly. So I was like, well, I don't know, it might still be a while. So I was, you know, legs sort of spread, and I was, you know, I just moved in an intuitive way, and then the next search came. Chris was like, oh my God, I can see the head. And I was like, what? I was just totally shocked. I was shocked how quick it was. Or I was like, what do you mean the head's there? He was like, oh my God, the head. And then another couple of minutes and she just came shot out. So fetal ejection, like reflex in full mode, and she just came out, and it all happened within a few seconds. And he was like, oh my God, our baby. And I was like, what?
Wow.
It was just so quick. And I couldn't quite believe it. And there was, and the intensity of the contractions is also so hard to explain because it's such a whole body feeling. I felt like I just surrendered to it. And the first thing that I said, you know, once obviously she was like breathing and letting out like a little cry. And I was like, we did it. We fucking did it. We free birthed. Look at us. You know, I was like, so proud. And I was like, yes, we did it. And I just felt so empowered and in my own space. And it was absolutely beautiful. It unfolded just so bloody amazing.
Oh God. Oh my God. What an epic, epic, epic. Epic story. And I can see it all. I can just see you there in your pool with your lovely hippie tapestries up, like you say, eating your hummus from Tesco's and just kind of like just in it, just so in it. And like, oh my God, amazing.
Yes.
So just to like, to cycle back to when she was born, were you absolutely confident that all was well? Was everything fine? Was it really kind of obvious to you that there was no concern?
It was quite, yes, I felt, so once she came sort of, she came out, my husband sort of caught her and then handed her to me directly, like on my breast, and she wasn't like crying massively immediately, but you know, she was breathing and there was like a few small whimpers and cries coming out, and I was like, okay, she seems to be breathing okay, She already, you know, crying a little bit, even, but not like you see in the movies, right? Yeah. Like, when they're like, where's that coming from? But
Well, don't have to cry when they're born. Like, it doesn't have to be a big cry or anything like that. You don't have to like make them cry. When I see people talk about that, I just think, oh god. Like, especially I think in water too, they can often be born quite chill. You know, quite calm. Like, they don't have to be making lots of noise. You kind of know, like, if they're moving around in such a way or responding in a way that they're okay. Yeah,
absolutely. And she seemed fine. You know, she opened her eyes very slightly, and I was like, oh, this. You know, so I wasn't concerned at all. If like a minute after I gave birth, I think a lot of adrenaline probably got like released in my system, so I started to shake and I got like really really cold, and I was like, okay, must go into bed with like all the blankets on me and like her on me. And I had a little bit something to drink, a little bit of like sugar, like some chocolate, just to get some of my energy back. But you know, once I was like all warm in bed with her on my chest, I was like, this is bloody brilliant. And that, honestly, I felt so high on oxytocin. It was just like the best feeling ever. One thing I was a little bit concerned about, I was like, oh, I wonder if I tore or if there's any blood. So I sort of checked, and I was like, it looked a little bit like, you know, bruise, but there was no tearing, no blood.
Oh, amazing.
Brilliant.
Amazing. And had you birthed the placenta at this point? What happened?
Well, the birth of the placenta is quite another story, because my placenta actually didn't come out until 5 hours after giving birth, which is quite a long time.
Yeah. Also normal though. Yeah. Oh, but how did you feel about it at the time though? Were you concerned?
Well, I wasn't too concerned. So our doula came. So it was really funny, because our doula was already en route while I was birthing, and her first cab got cancelled.
Oh,
so
no.
She came half an hour after Frankie, after my daughter was already born.
Oh.
And then she said, you were clearly meant to do this just by yourself, just you and Chris, and you know, all of them brilliantly. And so, but it was really, really lovely to have her here, a post-birth, just to help with some bits, just to chill out and go through the birth experience. And also, of course, I had my placenta still within me, still in me. And I felt my womb contracting as my daughter was sort of starting to breastfeed, and I was you know, started to like kiss my husband. I was like, oh, let's have a little snog and get a little bit more of this oxytocin flowing, so my placenta can come out. And nothing kind of happened, right? I felt like some contractions, and then I was just sort of sitting back on my bed. I started to move around a little bit. I had this beautiful crystal bowl that I was sort of having underneath my yoni, just so the placenta can fall into it, because my plan was to have my placenta encapsulated, so I wanted to make sure like I catch them and whatnot. And the time after giving birth, you know, the whole concept of time and space, it was just all so blurred. And it wasn't until I feel like 3 hours post-birth that my doula said, oh, how are you feeling, like, within yourself? I think she just wanted to make sure that I feel all right. And and I was like, no, I feel amazing. And then she said, oh, maybe we could do a little bit, some gentle movement to try to encourage the placenta to come out. And then she asked me, she was like, when was the last time you went to the loo? And I was like, oh, you know, all of that kombucha I was drinking that I got from Tesco. I was like, where did all the kombucha go? Because I did not go for a pee in hours now. And she said, What I suspect might be happening here is that maybe that your placenta is already sitting there, ready to be released, but because your bladder is so full, it might be difficult to release it. And I was like, I think that is what's happening, because I was tugging on the umbilical cord very, very gently. There was a little bit of blood that came out, but nothing, you know, nothing was moving. So she suggested, how do you feel about cutting the cord? And we didn't have any sterile scissors, so we just burned the cord with a tea light. We did like a little ceremony on the bed. My you know, our doula, my husband, the baby was there, took a tea light, and I said goodbye to the placenta. And it was like a little, like a small little ritual that felt like just so beautiful. And we burned the umbilical cord, and then my husband was able to have like skin on skin with my daughter, and I was able to move around a little bit freer. So I went up and down the stairs, I like did my squats, I went into the shower, and nothing was happening. And then my doula asked, is there anything that you feel like maybe you want to say to your placenta? Is there anything, do you feel ready to maybe let go of this birthing and pregnancy experience, because there could have been like a lot of underlying, perhaps emotional things that I found it maybe difficult to fully let go of, you know, off the placenta. So I, you know, went within myself, I meditated on it a little bit. By the time, it must have been like 4 or 5 hours, I think my husband started to Google, you know, the worst thing that you can probably do, let's just Google what could happen if the placenta doesn't come out. So I think got a little bit, right? Yeah. So he got a little bit worried. Mm. But our doula, Samara, she was absolutely perfect. She was like, do you feel fine within yourself? I was like, yeah, I feel absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. So I just carried on moving. And I was like, right, let's go back to the toilet, because I feel like I really need to pee. And not being able to pee nearly killed me, you know, then not being able to control kind of my bladder. Mm. So I sat there and I was like, for a minute, I don't want to think about anything to do with pregnancy or birth. Mm. I want to take my mind totally away from that. So I listened to this really dry German relationship podcast all about marriages and relationships. And I was like, this will do. So I just put it on and I sat like on the toilet for like 5-10 minutes. And I thought, I was like, oh, something's moving, I'm going to pee. But no, it was my placenta coming out. And I felt like within my womb, I felt it like fold, like boom, boom, like fold together.
Oh, wow.
And plop out. And I was like,
oh, you can feel it.
Yeah, the placenta came out. Yeah. At the same time, I was like, no, I didn't have a crystal ball to put my placenta. What? So I was like, let me tend to my placenta in a minute. Right now, I just want to go to the shower. And I had like the hot water on and I had a pee in the shower. It was the best pee ever.
I can almost feel it. Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. And funnily enough, as I was peeing there in the shower, my daughter had her first pee on her dad.
Oh, no way.
Love that. In unison peeing. Yeah.
How weird is that? So all you could hear in the house is me going in the shower. The placenta is out and I'm peeing. This is bloody amazing. I was like, you know, I feel freaking amazing. So once I peed, I was like, right, tend to the placenta. So I looked at the placenta. So me and my doula were just like sort of standing there. And I was like, how do I get my placenta out now? Bloody hell. So she was like, should we try it with a ladle? So we're standing there with a ladle, trying to fish my placenta out. So there were like so many comical moments like that. And
I love that. Just,
it wouldn't come out. She was like, do you have any sterile gloves? And I was like, don't think I do. Ha, no, actually I do. You know, when you buy like hair dye and you've got like those.
Yeah.
Ha, got one of those. I put my gloves on and then I fished the placenta out. And I was like, God, this is gorgeous. And then put it into the sink, gave it a bit of a rinse, and all of us like create like my partner with like our newborn daughter, me and my doula, we're just like all around the sink looking at my placenta. I was like, look at it, bloody glorious.
And
I was like, oh gosh, I must tell the encapsulation people not to have it like, not to have my placenta done raw, but to have it steamed because it was in the toilet. So all of a sudden my practical brain comes in and like, oh yeah, this and this has to be done. And but I felt like really, really energized. So you know, once the placenta was out, I felt like now I can like go to sleep and relax and just have a little bit of rest.
Oh.
And that was beautiful. And then Samara also said, you know, in free birth or birthing at home, the placenta takes as long as it takes to come out. So as long as you're feeling well within yourself, don't put too much pressure on it. And I'm glad it happened at home, because I think if that would have taken as long as it did in a hospital, I would have already had some interventions done. Or
100%.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't have gotten past half an hour max. Yeah. I would have thought if you were in hospital.
Yeah, exactly. So I was glad that it all went well.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What a story.
I love the hidden support of doulas, of just being able to like fish a placenta out of your toilet, like, what about a label? Should we try this? And like what an amazing little extra to the service.
it was like the best thing. And bless her, she also had like some soup with her. I don't know if it was like pumpkin or squash soup. She was like, I made some soup and like I was holding my baby, and you know, I was like squatting there. That was when I was still trying to get the placenta out. having some of that soup, and it was the best soup I've ever tasted in my life. And I was like, this is blissful, because at that point we haven't like had a proper meal in like hours and hours.
Yeah.
And it was just so lovely to have her there, just to hold space. And some people might look into the situation and be like, oh, not a lot was done in a way, but that was everything. It's holding the space, being there whenever you have a question, or just chilling out and putting a wash on, tidying away. Yeah. All of those things that like add up, isn't it? And the emotional support. It was just absolutely beautiful.
And just asking how you're feeling, you know, just that reminder, gentle reminder.
Yeah.
How is your body doing? What does your body need? How are you feeling? And it just sounds like she came at the perfect time, because, you know, the Uber was cancelled. It's amazing. You birthed all by yourself with your partner. That was how it was meant to be. And then she was there when you needed just that gentle reminder of, you know, how you're doing. Just at the right time for the placenta. Perfect. And all the bits and bobs after, just an extra pair of hands as well. Sounds like an angel.
Yeah, I think you are, this episode's like an advert for having additional care, I think, or a doula or a birth keeper or something. Because like, God, yeah, you're really selling it. I think from having someone early on for that emotional support to like, I don't even think, I think like you say, some people I'm sure hear your story and go, oh, isn't it a shame she wasn't there to like help during the birth? But yeah, but you didn't need her. You know, that just wasn't the way it was meant to be for you. But afterwards, super great support. That's wonderful. Did you have any interaction at all with, did you phone a midwife afterwards at all? Or did you do all of that yourself?
What happened? I think at like 7 or 8 in the morning, so quite a few hours after, we called our midwife that we went, you know, sort of the male midwife that we traveled with through for our pregnancy journey. And we're like, oh, I think my husband called him, I texted him, like, oh, Teresa has already given birth and we have a daughter, so maybe you wanna, you know, do you need to pop in? So he popped in, and the first thing that he said is like, he was like, well done, guys, I'm so happy for you. And he just looked at me, he's like, why am I not surprised that you just did it your way and you just went for it, you know?
Oh,
and
I was like
yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, well done. So that was like really, really nice to hear from him. Oh. And we had Frankie weighed, and he was just like, you know, do you need any additional help? But we just felt like we didn't really need any additional help at that stage. And he must have been there for like 10 minutes or so, just to make sure do we need anything extra, are we okay? And then we went to bed and we had like a sleep for a few hours, and I remember that the doorbell kept going, and I think it was like another set of midwives just checking in if we needed anything. But at that time I was like in and out of sleep, and my husband said, we don't need anything, and if there's anything then we'll contact you. And that was that. So it was very minimal, because I felt like we didn't really need any additional support.
Oh, and yeah, so kind of nice that, yeah, because he was it was a nice support throughout your pregnancy. So kind of good to have that little like rounding off at the end as well, really. And lovely that there was a good reaction there. There wasn't any judgment. It was a kind of good on you. And I pretty much thought you might do this. Fantastic. You know, that's really good. And there was no kind of negativity there, because some people do, they, you know, worry about a backlash or some kind of response. But it sounds like it was all really positive and stuff. So that's good. So did they handle doing like paperwork kind of side of things, so you didn't need
they
to do this?
Did, yeah, exactly. They did all the paperwork. They weighed her. He asked about the, you know, whether we wanted the vitamin K drops. He had some with him, but we already sourced our own, so we were we just said, no, that's fine, we don't need anything. And obviously he said, if you need anything or if anything comes up, you know, just do give me a call. But I felt like everything went so smoothly that we didn't need any additional help. But his reaction was really, really lovely, so that you know, it was like a nice end, I suppose, to like the birthing journey, if that makes sense.
Oh,
wow.
What
Thank
a
you.
Story. I know.
Amazing. I love telling it. I'm just so beautiful.
You clearly do. You're so good at telling it as well. Like, I felt like I was there, like every step of the way. And I'm just like, I was just sat here really trying not to jump in as much. And I'm sure I kind of did anyway. But like, I was just sat here so in awe of you, because I feel like from the very beginning, like, my God, you approached it in such an amazing way. And then you really, you just kind of like, you navigated the whole thing so well. And it's your first baby too, which, you know, I think for a lot of people, unfortunately, like the first birth and pregnancy and birth can be quite a big learning experience. But like, my God, you bloody smashed it. And I was just like, I don't think I was trying not to laugh so much. But God, like wandering around. Like, I love that, you know, when most people, like their early labour list of like stuff to do, just be like, pop a nice film on that you like watching. And yours was like, no, go to a market, a busy market in London and do like your kind of weekly food shop and just sort of like wander around. Maybe watch a film. Yeah, maybe go to the cinema. I love that. I love that your list was that kind of normal and just you were still just carrying on with life. And yeah, exactly. I really think that's key, actually. I think people that keep it super normal in that build up then have that kind of better, you know, later stage, because they haven't been, I think the ones that like the second they get a little twinge and they go, oh, it's probably it. And then they kind of almost shut down and they just sit there waiting. I think that's the toughest labours. Because then you get frustrated and you watch the clock and it's just like, oh, why is it taking so long? Did you have an expectation of time? Would there been a time frame where you would have been concerned, or were you quite open? I guess with having a doula, did she kind of say it could take any kind of time?
She did, yes. Because when my husband contacted her after like the first like hour, couple of hours of me in the evening, you know, when I laboured in the bathtub, she said, oh, you know, with first time births, it can take a while. But we already knew that, like, leading up, first time births, you know, it can be hours, it can be a day, it can be 2 days, you know. So I was really, like, open to all of it. But, of course, I did speak to my mum about her birth experiences, and all of, like, me and my siblings were born really, really quickly, like, within a few hours. So I was like, I wonder whether that's going to be the same for me. But I didn't think it would happen as quickly as it then happened in the end. So I didn't really have a concept of like of like time. And you know, when I was already in the pushing stages, I was like, this can't be pushing already. So I was totally I thought this is gonna take like hours and hours longer. And I'm really glad, well, you know, I'm glad it all unfolded so smoothly. And I think part of it is also because I just kept it normal as soon as possible, because if I would have stayed at home, just twiddled my thumbs and been like, oh, this is it, and I think that would have maybe made me a little bit more nervous and it would have taken longer. But because I just like went, like, you know, I had fun and went out, I felt like I was able to open quicker.
Because you weren't sat there analyzing every single niggle. You weren't in your mind, you were just, you know, letting your body do its thing as you were carrying on with daily life.
Exactly.
And the thing that just stays with me listening to your story is just the power that you're speaking about your birth with. Like, it's so clear what a health giving experience it was for you. Like, your eyes are so bright as you're telling this story. It's so clear what an amazing, powerful experience it was. And it's just such a joy hearing these kinds of stories, because like, what a breath of fresh air. We hear all of the negative ones quite a lot. And just hearing what birth can be, it sounds like it's exactly as you were planning for it to be, extraordinarily ordinary.
Exactly. Amazing. Yes. I think it's such a reclaim of your power, especially as women. I think very often we give in the feeling of we need rescuing from, you know, from ourselves. And especially, you know, especially in labor, when going through something so intense. And what bigger reclamation of your power, or of, you know, I can do this, than going through that experience. And, you know, regardless of how birth maybe unfolds, or whether it is a home birth, or whether you end up, you know, having to go to hospital, or, you know, whatever it looks like, as long as you feel like, as a woman, that your wishes and needs are being heard and listened and you're being seen, I think that's key.
Empowering experience.
Oh God, Teresa, that was such an amazing story. Thank you so much for coming here and sharing that with us, because I guarantee you people will listen to this. Well, and I hope that they really notice that. Get a doula early on. Get support early on. You know, don't wait. Don't delay it. Don't put it off. Yeah.
Don't wait. Yes, absolutely. It inspired me so much. I actually want to train to be a doula myself. Hopefully,
Yes. Oh God, you'd be wonderful. You'd be absolutely wonderful. I look forward to that. Yeah, seeing you do that. Amazing. Thank you so much for your time and everything, for sharing your story. I cannot wait to get it out. But yeah, thank you so much,
and thanks for having me, and thanks for spreading the word and your amazing work. And yeah, hopefully, if I can just if only one person, like one woman, listens to this and thinks, oh, maybe I can do this, and of course everybody can do this, then that would have been a great result, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah. Wonderful words to end that on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you have enjoyed listening to these stories, we'd love to hear from you. Take a screenshot, share your thoughts. We'd love to hear how you found these amazing stories. You can tag us, tag our Instagram accounts, share with your friends, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a free birth story you would love to share, you can get in touch with us by sending a DM to our Instagram page at normalboringfreebirth or email us at normalboringfreebirth@outlook.com.